These well-known words from the start of one of the biographies of Jesus of Nazareth. In him was life. That life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness. The darkness has not understood it. Light and life, just like two really powerful images that actually, they don't need a lot of explaining. You know, it's like a joke. If you make a joke and then you have to explain it, it's not funny. Do you know what I mean? It loses its ability to make people laugh. The joke loses its power if you have to explain it. And it's like these images that are used to kind of convey the reality of this Jesus of Nazareth. It's like, if you have to explain it, it's going to lose its ability to impact you. It's going to lose its ability to shape your thinking. It's going to lose its power if you explain it. We don't need a physics lesson tonight to explain light. We don't need a biology lesson to explain life. We kind of know what light and life are. You know, we just experience it. You know, it's just part of our world. You know, we're here. Some level that probably means we're alive. Though I'm not sure always about that. We know what light, every morning we wake up, the sun comes up, there's light and it drives back the darkness. We instinctively understand something of what these images are speaking to us about Jesus. That he is the light of the world, he is life. But when it comes to Jesus, these images are like just massively inflated with a whole kind of new level of significance. It like takes what we think we understand by light and life and says, look guys, seriously, you haven't seen anything yet. See, our experience of life is so impoverished, isn't it? You know, this thing that we share, It's not really life. Shot through with sickness and sorrow and suffering and sin, overshadowed by decay and death. This thing that we call life, it's so passing. We have it today. But tomorrow, next week, next year, next decade, not anymore. It'll be gone. Most of you know that I'm a genuine, authentic Church of England minister, and I do a lot of funerals. My job constantly brings me into contact, into confrontation with our mortality, with just how slender our hold on life really is. There's a great line in the funeral service, even in the midst of life, we are in death. And we think we understand life, but even at its best, it's only a life that's overshadowed by the inevitability of death. And we think we understand light, but actually our experience of light, it's the same. You know, there's always bits where light doesn't quite get to. Even on the most brilliantly sunny day, there's always shadows, places where the light doesn't reach. And it's all transitory too, isn't it? It's like our experience of life. It's always passing. Yeah, sure, every morning the sun comes up, and every night goes back down again. You know, we turn the lights on. At some point tonight, you will all go home, and I hope, and we'll turn the lights off again. Even light, temporary, passing. When John is talking about Jesus and light and life, he's talking about something that is far more profound than our experience of these things here and now. Right? These things are only a shadow of what we're talking about when we're talking about Jesus. In Jesus, there is a life that is permanent and everlasting, that is never overshadowed by death. Life as it was meant to be. Life as we were originally designed and created to enjoy. Jesus says, I've come to give you life, and life in all its fullness. A life that will not end. And Jesus is a light that is inconquerable. A light that will never be put out. A light that leaves no area untouched. That leaves nothing in shadow or shade. He is life, and He is light in a way that is not passing. It's not transient. It's permanent. In fact, it's the most permanent thing that there has ever been, that there ever will be. This whole age, this whole creation is passing. There was a point where it came into being. There's a point where it will cease to be. But Jesus, well, He was there in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. He was there. The light and life, that is Christ, was there before this creation came into being. And it will be there long after this creation is gone. He is the one through which this creation comes into being and is kept in being. And He is the one who gives reality its shape, its significance, its meaning. That's what these words are pushing us towards. He is the light. And Him is life. That's where we find reality. That's where we find the way things are supposed to be. That's where we find meaning and significance and purpose. And only there. See, something about this that we, as Christians, you want to celebrate. You know, Jesus is the light and He comes into the world. That's good news. We want to celebrate. Next 3 or 4 weeks, we will celebrate with feasting and worship and joy, and it'll be great. But it's also quite sobering, isn't it? Because there's a note of exclusivity about this. You see, Jesus is the light, and He comes into the world. But what's the world? What's the world? The light shines in the darkness. See, it's one of the things John wants to say. Look, he said, before we actually, kind of as it were, meet Jesus in this biography, before we start watching Him and seeing what He does and hearing what He says, before we get to what He does, what He says, let's just stop and think about who He is. He is the light that shines in a world that is characterized by darkness. There's something fundamentally different about Him. You know, you don't get what there is in Jesus. You don't get anywhere else. You don't get the significance, the meaning, the purpose. You don't get to be in connection with reality the way in which you do in Jesus. And you don't get life anywhere else other than Jesus. The Bible's full of this. You know, one of the great early church leaders, it was a guy called Paul. And he said, look, as for you, he said, he wrote you a letter to a church in a place called Ephesus. And he said there, as for you, before you became Christians, you were dead in your transgressions and in the sins in which you used to live. Do you hear that word? Before you were Christian, you were dead in the sin in which you used to live. Sure, your heart was beaten, but only at the most superficial level could you possibly be said to have a shell of life. No, the reality is, actually, you're dead. Jesus is going to teach it as well later in this biography. He's going to say in John chapter 5, I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me. Right? You believe my word, you hear my word, you believe whom he sent me, you will have eternal life. You will not be judged. You've crossed over from death to life. The exclusivity. In Jesus there is life. Nowhere else. In Jesus there is light. Nowhere else. Outside of Jesus, there is only death, despair. There is no knowledge of God. There is no knowledge of reality. These things, they're found in Jesus. They're not found anywhere else. The knowledge of God is found in Jesus. It's not found anywhere else. In just a few sentences' time, John's going to say, no one has ever seen God. No one. No one has ever seen God except God the Son, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. That's what that image, light and dark. No one knows what God is like. In this world, if you think of the knowledge of God as being like light, this is a world of darkness. The light shines in the darkness. We don't know who God is. We don't know what reality is. We don't know what life is about. And into that world of darkness, into that world of ignorance and confusion, comes Jesus, light. Only he knows what God is like. And he comes into the darkness to show us. The light shines in the darkness. But did you hear what John said? The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness didn't understand it. A few sentences later, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world didn't recognize him. He came to us. He came to us in the form that is most accessible, that we could most easily relate to. He came to us as one of us. And we were like, who are you? What is this? We don't understand. We don't know you. And Jesus comes, he's like, look, I am the unveiling of God. I was there at the beginning. I am the foundation of reality. I am what gives this world meaning and significance and purpose. I am life. I am light. I created you. You depend on me. And the world couldn't see it. We couldn't make sense of it. We didn't understand. We didn't recognize him. The darkness didn't. There's only ignorance, only confusion. Like, we don't know who we are, let alone who God is. We don't know how to make life work. That's why we don't recognize it when it comes and stands right in front of us. Do you hear how shocking this is, though? Can you feel how offensive this is? Do you feel the power of what John is teaching? In him is light, and in him is life, and outside of him, there is nothing. There is no meaning, there is no purpose, there is no significance, there is no life, only death. There is no knowledge of God, no knowledge of ourselves, no knowledge of reality. There is only ignorance and confusion and darkness. Do you hear how shocking that is? How politically incorrect that is? How offensive it is? I mean, you think about some of the great religions of our world. Stretch back into antiquity that have shaped civilizations and cultures and given rise to empires. these great sophisticated religions that have no place for Jesus? It's darkness, ignorance, confusion, death. Or the trendy, contemporary, individualized spirituality that we love so much in Britain. You know, we don't want organized religion. We don't want someone at the front shouting at us and telling us what to do. We're going to build our own spirituality. You know, we pick up an idea here and we watch some stuff on YouTube and we read a book or go to a lecture or we watch a film and we bring together all these ideas and this is how I like to think about God and this makes sense to me and this brings me a sense of peace and I like to think about the world this way and insofar as Jesus isn't featuring, it's ignorance, confusion, darkness, death. However it makes you feel, whatever contribution you may judge it to have made on the stage of human history, it does not bring us the knowledge of God. It does not bring us the life of God. The light shines in the darkness. He doesn't shine in the dusk or the twilight or the half light of this world. It's not that outside of Jesus, you know, there's this sort of general sense of who God is. A general awareness of what reality is about, what life is about. And Jesus can kind of bring that into focus and he can sort of top it up a little bit or he can add something to it. No, there is nothing outside of Jesus. There is no meaning. There is no significance. There is no purpose. There is no reality outside of Jesus. That's what John is saying. He said, you're going to watch this man on the stage of history. You're going to listen to him teach. You're going to see what he does as he engages with people. Understand that outside of this man, Jesus, there is nothing. There is no light. There is no life. There is only darkness. There is only death. And we struggle with this. This is not how we like to think about the world. This is not how we interpret people. People we know. People we share life with. People we love. People who are in our families. This is not how we want to make sense of life out there. It doesn't ring true somehow. Just as a general rule, can I suggest that when what we think and what the Bible teaches are our intention, we go with the Bible. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't do that. Lean on what God is teaching us. The problem is we are so blinded by the way we've been taught to think by our culture and our society, that we struggle to hear even just these first sentences from John's Gospel. We're only up to the fifth one, and we're struggling already. There's 21 chapters to go. Can we face up to the intolerance of the gospel? Can we feel how offensive this is? Let me tell you, it was every bit as offensive in the first century as it is in the 21st century. John wasn't stupid. He knew what he was writing. Paul, who I was talking about earlier, one of the first Christian leaders, he actually talked about the offense of the gospel. And in the Bible, when you read in the book of the Acts, when you read about this gospel being preached, there are riots. People are imprisoned. People are stoned and left for dead. People are driven out of cities for saying this sort of thing, for teaching this sort of thing. When I preach, people shake my hand and tell me what a nice sermon it was and give me a cup of tea. I just feel like we might be missing something. I think it's because we hide away from this. We're so afraid of offending people. We're so afraid of being politically incorrect that we just won't say what the Bible says. It's like it's like the crazy uncle that you keep locked away and hope nobody ever notices them. It's like a dirty family secret. You know, yeah, we believe this, but let's not tell anybody out there that that's what we believe. Actually, this is the gospel. This is the message of Christmas. The light shines in a world of darkness. And the darkness cannot understand it, does not understand it. Some people will be offended. They were offended by Jesus, they were offended by the apostles, and they will be offended by the church in every generation. In every culture, there will always be those who are offended. And there will be those who hate the bearers of this message. But there will also be those who will hear of the light that shines in the darkness. And they'll sit back and they'll think, you know what? That makes sense. They will sit back and they will think, I don't really understand what's going on in this world. I don't really get what life is about. It doesn't make sense to me. I can't make life work. I have tried and I have given it everything I have got. And life, what? I don't know how this thing, I don't know, I just can't do it. And there will be people who will hear what the Bible has to say about being spiritually dead, and it will ring true. You're like, yeah, I am. I am, and I've never heard anybody articulate it. I've never heard anybody explain to me why I feel the way I do. I've never heard anybody explain to me why I can't make life work the way I want it to. I've never heard anybody explain to me why I cannot be the person I want to be. Some people will be offended, but some people will hear it and it will make sense and it will ring true. You see, when Jesus invites somebody to follow him, he's not just inviting them to become, you know, come and be a slightly better version of yourself. Come and be a slightly more fulfilled version of yourself. That's not the call of the gospel. The call of Jesus is, come out of death and into life. Come out of darkness and into light. When you become a Christian, you don't just become a slightly better version of what you were before. You become something fundamentally different. Life instead of death. Light instead of darkness. These are polar opposites. These are fundamentally incompatible things. If you're alive, you're not dead. If you're in the light, you're not in darkness. It is an absolute transformation of everything that we are, every aspect of our life, everything about our destiny and our future and the very essence of our being is utterly transformed when we become disciples of Jesus Christ. Man, we are so in danger of taming Christianity and of taming Christmas. You know, we come to Christmas and, man, we sort of slip into a kind of, you know, man, it's Christmas and God came to live amongst us, which is very affirming for us all and very lovely. And it must mean that we're really special. And it must mean that God really likes us because that's why he's come to be with us. We even change the Bible. All right? How often have you heard at Christmas, peace on earth? The angel said, peace on earth. That is not what the angel said. And it's not what, in fact, Jesus said, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. Christmas is not an exercise in affirmation. God coming into this world is not God saying, hey guys, you are so nice, so good, and I just want to come and be with you. Christmas is an invasion. Christmas is an act of war. Christmas is the light coming into the world to drive the darkness back. Christmas is God raging against the death and the darkness that this world has become and that we are a part of. It is God saying, I will not stand back and allow this to continue. Christmas is the harrowing of a fallen and cursed world. It is the forcible liberation of people enslaved. Christmas is God telling us that we are so lost that we will never find our way back to him. That's why he has to come and get us. Christmas is God telling us that we are so incapable of saving ourselves that he has to come and save us. Christmas is God saying, you have so lost sight of what life is like that I have to come and live it out before you all over again. And when I do it, you have no idea what this is even about. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness will not understand it. Christmas is God saying that we are so broken, so damaged, we are so lost, that we are so embedded in darkness, that we are so enslaved to sin, that we are so helplessly given over to death, that nothing but the death of God can restore us and give us life. That's the gospel of Christmas. And I wonder if we have the courage to believe it ourselves, let alone to ask anyone else to believe it. Because that is what we are doing. Every time in the next 3 weeks we invite someone to a carol service, every time we invite them to come and be a part of the Alpha Course, every time we share with them their need of Jesus, the gospel, the good news. Yeah, some will find it offensive. But some will find life. Let me finish with a quote from the Wisdom of Solomon. It's in Proverbs chapter 24. And it says this, if you falter If you falter in the day of trouble, how small is your strength? Rescue those being led away to death. Hold back those staggering towards slaughter. And if you say, but we knew nothing about this, does not he who weighs your heart perceive it? Does not he who guards your life know it? Will he not pay back everyone according to what they have done? The gospel of Christmas, it is offensive. The gospel has always been offensive. But it is also light and life for a world of darkness and death. Please, do not leave people in a world of darkness and death when God has done so much to bring them to the light and life that is Jesus.